All right. Good morning, everybody. Again, man, it feels good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. I always say, even though there's a big old chicken on the outside of the building, it doesn't matter. You know, still the house of the Lord, right? Well, my name is Michael Rodriguez, lead pastor here at Christ Community Church. Thanks for being here this morning. Glad to have some new faces and more kids. Always, God is good. We have four kids of our own, so I was like, man, we need more babies, you know. But we're going to dismiss the children right now. Before we do that, let's pray for our kids because they're our next generation, right? There's our hope and our future is in the kids, so let's pray for them. Father God, we come before you in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you, Lord God, that you have blessed us, Lord God, with a lot of families, with our own kids, Lord God, but you're also blessing us and seeing our church increase, Lord, through the children, even if they're just visiting today, Lord God. It is my prayer, Lord God, that today you would fill their hearts, their minds, Lord God, that they would fill a sense of joy and of love and learning about who you are, and that seed is planted in their heart, Lord, that they can always go back and know that, number one, are loved by you no matter what, and that you want them, Lord God. Your will tells us to forbid the kids or don't keep them from coming because the kingdom of heaven is theirs, Lord God. And so we're thankful for that. Be with Jasmine, be with our teachers and aides, and bless the kids as they're going off on their class, Lord. We love you. In Jesus Christ's name. Amen. All right. Man, what a morning. So the kids, if there's a, what are the ages again? Up to five? Up to 12. I'm going to learn it. Believe me, I should know this. I ask every Sunday, right? What are the ages again? But yeah, you're going to have a whole lot of fun, kiddos. So if you want to go with Teacher Jasmine, she's over here on the right-hand side. And I think she gives you all kinds of candy, brings you back all kinds of sugar. I think she gives them monsters, parents. So when they come back all amped up, maybe they'll crash for a nap. I'm kidding. They don't do that stuff. But we do. So, and just as a reminder, if your kids are going off to the classrooms, you have to go pick them up yourself. Okay, don't leave them here. Don't abandon them here. Like, show up. They'll be in class already for tomorrow. We'll enroll them in Reagan School. But no, you need to pick them up. I keep forgetting that. So, and the reason is just more for security, right? We want to make sure that your kids, or you claim you only leave with the kids that you came, right? So, all right. Well, let me tell you guys, it's been an interesting weekend for us. I think for everybody, right? Who's had like a really crazy week this week? Just, yeah. Half of you guys, the other guys, you're like, man, I was blessed. It was a piece of cake, piece of pie all day. All right. Well, this morning has been quite the adventure, I'll be quite honest with you. We were in Pismo for my strategic plan for work. So Friday and Saturday, we were in all-day meetings. And then we got in the car. And just one thing after another, right? The little things. You know how the enemy gets you? Like death by a thousand paper cuts. So I couldn't find my keys for the trailer, right? So literally all the equipment, everything is like, oh my gosh, Stephanie, I can't find the keys. I'm calling my brother, running around. Everybody's like, and they were actually in the car. I had left them there since Friday. So, you know, crisis averted. Then we get here, we start setting up, and Jose, he does our lead worship. He's like, hey, I woke up with a fever. I can't make it. So we have to scramble last minute to get the music prepared. But you know what? God is good, right? Today we're gonna spend a whole lot of time in the book of Ephesians. We're going to be in chapter 6. And this is it's a book about, I'm going to read into it and talk a little bit more. This morning, man, I was reminded that, man, to live is to know that you are in spiritual warfare against the enemy, right? I always said the enemy is always the hardest at work when? On Sunday mornings, when you're trying to come to church or when you're trying to get to Bible study, right? Doesn't it feel like, you know, and it didn't help if you went crazy at the quinceañera the night before or whatever, you know. But long story short, we are in the middle of a battle. To that, we're coming off of, yesterday was Veterans Day, right? So do we have any veterans in the room? One. All right. Thank you, Stephen. Praise God. Stand up. Amen. Now I heard somebody in the back say, well, how about a veterano? You know, I was a veterano. You know, I grew up in Orange Cove, Sangre. I'm not that kind of veteran. I'm a different kind of veteran. Okay. That's another message for another time. But we are in a spiritual battle. And so today's message is going to be around what do we need to equip ourselves for the battle, right? Because you can't expect to win this battle if you're showing up unprepared, right? So this morning we're going to be reading out of the book of Ephesians chapter 6. If you want to, the scriptures are going to be on the screen, but if you want to follow along, Joey in the back has Bibles. So if you want to follow along, he has. If you just raise your hand, and he can hand you a Bible. And if you didn't get to fill in the blank, go ahead and do that. And you guys all know that I love to fill in the blanks because it helps you to memorize things, right? I'm a man, and so I always say, like, if I don't write it down, I'm going to forget. And I always tell my wife, if you didn't see the white of my eyes, I didn't hear you. So she'll say, didn't I tell you? I told you last week. I said, no, you didn't, because you were talking to my ear, and you don't have my attention, right? But if you do this, dialed in, I'm good. But if we write it down, right, if you don't write things down, usually we'll forget after 3 days, right? So after 3 days, if you just don't make a note of it, you're going to forget. So that's why we do that. But today's scripture reading is going to be out of the book of Ephesians. And so let's turn to there, and we're going to start in chapter 6. We're going to read Ephesians chapter 6, and we're going to read verses 1, actually, all the way through verse 20. I'm going to read it once, and then we're going to go back and start breaking portions of it down. Amen? All right. So Ephesians chapter 6. Now, this is Paul writing this to the church at Ephesus, and this is one of my favorite books. But let's read in Ephesians 6, verse 1. It says, children, right? So if there's any children in the room, pay attention. Obey your children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment, with a promise so that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy a long life on earth. Fathers, and this one should say mothers too, right? Let me just, the word of God is perfect, but sometimes we also have to apply it, right? So I'm going to apply this one, and I'm going to say, fathers and mothers, do not exacerbate your children. Instead, bring them up and train them in instruction of the Lord. Slaves, obey your earthly masters with respect and fear and with sincerity of heart, just as you would obey Christ. Obey them not only to win favor when their eye is on you, but as slaves of Christ, doing your will from your heart. Serve wholeheartedly as you are serving the Lord, not people, because you know that the Lord will reward whatever is good for what they do, and whatever they are, a slave or free. And masters, treat your slaves in the same way. Do not threaten them, since you know he who is both their master and yours is in heaven, and there is no favoritism with him. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggles are not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand, stand firm then again, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to this, take up the shield of faith, which you can extinguish all flames of the arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation, the sword of spirit, which is the word of God, and pray in the spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for the Lord's people. Pray for me also that whenever I speak, words may be given to me so I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. Amen. That's a big passage. That's a long, long passage. True story. My sermon outline is 11 pages long. We're going to be here till lunch. And thank God, there's some tacos right here out front. So if you really have to, I'll buy you some tacos afterwards. But don't leave early, right? So, but what are we talking about? What is Paul talking about? What is Paul writing about? And the first of those are very simple, right? We read it. This is, I always say, if you're who's here who still has your parents are still alive, you still have that blessing. Yes? Some of us, right? A lot of us. The very first thing, and we always say that of all of the Ten Commandments, the fifth commandment is the only one that comes with a promise. They all come with a promise, right? But it says, if you honor you and your mother, your days in the land which the Lord thy God gives thee will be blessed, right? So if you have them, please make sure. And if not, if you're a child in the room, please make sure that you honor your mom and dad, right? I know sometimes it's like, don't call them by their first name. You know, do you have? I can't stand that. Does that like make you mad when kids call their mom parents by their first name? It's like Stephanie. It's like, don't call me Stephanie. Like, don't call me Michael. It's just awkward, right? So we got to honor our parents. And the second one, I'm just going to cover it really quick. It says, don't exasperate your kids, right? That means like, don't nag them. Like, don't needle them. Like, sometimes, I'll be honest, right? You get frustrated with your kids. Yeah. It's okay. You could, some of you guys are like, no, I'm a perfect parent. You're lying. Right? We can be like, we know exactly what we're doing. Like, we'll do one of these, but with our tone, right? Right? Joe, sooner or later, the kids are like, yeah, stop already. I heard you. Like, it means don't exacerbate your kids, right? Raise them up. Yes, we have to raise them up. But sometimes, if we're honest, we can kind of be a little bit like, I would say, I call it needling. When somebody talks to you that way, it's like, I heard you already, right? I told my wife, I said, hey, there's only one woman that talks to me like that. And it's not you. No. I'm kidding. I'm not. I'm going to tell you, there's going to be a marriage course. It's going to be full. It's going to be awesome. I'm kidding. I don't say that to her. God has blessed our marriage, but anyway, this is something. But let's talk about why we're here, right? We're talking about the power that we find when we realize that we are not just waking up every day, right? There's somebody that we have that's called the enemy in our life. Yes, you guys know who that is, and his minions, right? And his job is to do what? It's to leave you alone, right? What do we see in 1 Peter? What does it says? The devil roams around like a lion, right? Looking to he who will devour. And so if you read this book, you read all about, right, the devil, the enemy, and his schemes. But today we're going to talk about putting on the full armor of God because it's important, right? And so here's why. Here's why it matters. A lot of us, we just wake up and we're just like, oh, I'm just going to go about my day. And you don't realize that you are in a spiritual battle every single day. All right? I just told you this morning, I was like, I got a bunch of messages. Everybody this morning, I was like, man, the devil must have known that we were going to preach on the armor of God because today was like one thing after another thing after another thing. But you know what? We have victory in his name, right? And the other thing too is that, you know, yeah, we know the scripture, right? But it doesn't matter how, some of you guys might be here for the first time. Some of you guys be here in church for a long time. You're like, I know this passage. And you're like, I've already read this 10 times, Pastor Mike. And you think you're a big old theologian. Get over yourself, right? You're not. The devil knows more about the scripture than you do, than we do, than I do, right? So this today's passage and this message is for all of us. Like, we don't just get to say, I'm going to pick and choose which parts of it. No, it applies to every single one of us. Amen? So what we're going to do, right, is we're going to start looking at, we're going to break down passage by passage and section by section. And we're going to start off, and again, the first fill in the blank for today's message is that as Christians in our lives, we're engaged in a spiritual battle. All right, so that's the first fill in the blank. We're engaged in spiritual battle. And where do we read that? So let's look at Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. In verse 12, it says, for our struggles are not against the flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. And so the more that you walk and the more that you live, you're going to see, man, you do, right? There's going to be different moments in your life, too, where you will feel even a different sense of attack or a different sense of darkness coming over your life. Has anybody ever been there? Right? Sometimes it's a spirit of depression. Sometimes I'm just telling you guys, I've had this happen in my own life where our family was going through struggle. And I was listening to a message, and it was one of those things where you wake up, right? Or you can't go to sleep because there's this kind of this darkness that's in your stomach and in your heart, and it doesn't matter. You're praying, and there's just a spirit of darkness over you. Has anybody felt that? I've had it happen in our life, in our family. And we have to recognize again that it's not flesh and blood that we're fighting, right? We're fighting against the principalities of evil and darkness. And so the good news is that God hasn't left us without any equipment, right? How many of you guys like to watch football, right? There's a lot of you do. Some of you guys do. Two of you guys. The rest of you guys, I always say, you're never going to raise your hand no matter what I ask you. That's okay. But they have a lot of equipment they put on, yes? Because they have to prepare. And so by the same token, God says, you know what? I'm going to give you the scripture. Paul is going to give you the scripture filled by the Holy Spirit to remind you of how you're supposed to equip yourself, right? So let's consider again every part of it. Now, the second part of it is that God's armor, right, protects us and equips us so we can fight back against the enemy. That's the second fill in the blank. So God's armor protects us and equips us to fight back against the enemy. And we're going to read there in verse 13 because it says, "Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand," right? He talks about putting on the full armor. Does that make sense? All right. So the first thing we're going to cover is, we're going to read, I'm going to go verse by verse, and I'm going to call it out. So the first thing, if you look at the number 3 and you're filling the blank, there's A through F that we're going to talk about. And each one of them is outlined as a part of the armor of God. So the first one is the belt of truth, right? So it says, "Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist," right? Now, the context always matters, right? When you're reading the Bible, I always say, ask the question, who's he talking to? He's talking to, and he's paraphrasing a soldier, right? A Roman soldier. He's talking about the armor of God. So he's saying, put the belt of truth on, right? And why do you think that matters? Why do you think that the spiritual truth, the belt of truth, is a foundational part of your armor? Anybody? Say it again. It holds you together, right? It gives you it's like a little faja right here. You know, your pants are like, how many of you guys struggle with weight loss? Me. I'll tell you. And how many of you guys, you have that pair of pants that you put it on and you're like, I don't know if it's going to fit me, but I'm going to put it on and the button is like barely hanging on. And then you put on your what? Your belt to make sure that it doesn't poke somebody's eye out when it, you know, like the button flies off. That happens to me all the time. But the belt of truth, right? Because the truth is so important. Does that make sense? And what is the truth, right? It's God's word, right? Do you want to be around people who lie a lot? I don't. Man, I hate a liar. And we shouldn't hate, right? I dislike liars. But I shouldn't hate. But the belt of truth is so important, right? Like, you need it. This is a true story. I always wear my belt because I hang all kinds of stuff on it. I'm not even a cop or a CO, but I put on have my badge, my cell phone. I put something else on, and it makes me feel like, yeah, I'm put together, right? In that time, the belt was meant to keep their tunic together, right? So it's very important. It's how you gird your loin. But one of my pet peeves, and I don't know why I'm going to talk about this, but I'm going to. Doesn't it bother you when you see kids that have the belt? They have a belt on, but the belt's on right here, and they walk like this. I can't stand it, man. It has nothing to do with the sermon. I just can't stand it. But if you're that guy, I feel like picking up the pants and putting on the belt. Because for us, right, going back to the message and the application, we have to understand that the truth is not a subjective truth. Do you know what I mean? What does that mean? When you say subjective, it means that the truth is a truth, right? It's not like, well, it's I believe this. I believe this thing about, like, for example, over dinner yesterday, I believe this about God, but I don't believe these things. It's like, and I wanted to respond, and I had the conversation saying, what you think and your opinion and what your truth is doesn't matter, right? God's word is true. And what he says is true. So we have to make sure that we are in our word and it's grounded, not on our own opinions, right? Because everybody has an opinion, but we have to be grounded in God's truth. And we have to be ready for battle because at the same time, right, we have to be engaged when those situations and circumstances show up. But I'm going to move on. The second item that's covered, that's mentioned as a part of the armor of God is the breastplate of righteousness, right? And that's in Ephesians 6:14. Ephesians 6:14 says, and it's kind of 14a was the belt of truth and the breastplate of righteousness. Now, why do you think it's important to protect this part of your body? Your heart, right? Because what do we say? What does Jesus say? Out of the overflow and abundance, right? So of the heart, so what? Speaketh the mouth. You guys know that? You guys know the passage of scripture? We have to know that. How do you know when you're walking right with God and you feel like you're filled with the Holy Spirit, how does your life tend to go? be honest with you. Don't you have a sense of peace, a sense of joy? You're like, you know, people are, you should walk into a room and people is like, man, there's something different about this person. Now, if you're not with, and I don't take this personal. When we're not connected and we're like, man, qué genio, like who wants to be around that person? It's all complaining. It's all drama all day. You know somebody like that in your life? Raise your hand if you do. Okay, if you didn't raise your hand, that's because it's you. You're the person. I'm kidding. No, we do, right? But we're called to protect our heart, right, from the attacks of the enemy. Because I always say that's a vital organ. In the Old Testament, even Jesus says, he would say, why do you reason so in your heart? When he was being asked by a Pharisee, it's not because he didn't know anatomy. Because it's talking about your sense of being, right? And we need to keep that protected. There's a story to illustrate this portion, right? And I just like to, you know, whenever I'm doing, like when I'm preparing a message, I like to look for different things to kind of give you guys. In 1934, what the king of Yugoslavia, it was King Alexander, was visiting France. I don't know if you guys know that. You're like, of course I knew that. I know all this. You didn't know it. But he was actually visiting, and he was decked out in an admiral's suit, right? He was like, it was an official visit. He was in a boat, a fleet, or whatever you call that, a navy boat? A ship. There you go. So I knew my wife. For a lot of things. So he was going on his official visit. He's getting off, but he had body armor, right? He had actually a metal plate that he was supposed to wear, and it didn't fit with his admiral suit. Make sense? So he decided to take it off, and because he wanted to look good. And he decided to, and what do you think happened to him as soon as he got into the car that was going to transport him? He got shot in the heart. Because he was more concerned with what? With looking good, with the outward appearance, instead of guarding his heart, right? Now for us, as we're walking with Christians, the outward appearance is okay, you know, like I would say, don't be that person that goes to Walmart all messed up, all trashed. Like, your outward appearance is important, but we have to guard our hearts, right? And if you're that person that goes to Walmart with your teddy bear slippers, I'm sorry. I apologize. God's word is cutting this morning. I don't know what's going on. But the third fill in the blank is the shoes of the gospel of peace. And we find that one in Ephesians 6:15. So 6:15 says, with righteousness and with the feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. Now, why do you guys think that matters, right? Man, to live is to what? I always say to live is to have conflict, yes? With everybody, man. Doesn't it feel like some of us have different personalities, right? You know people who are like I call myself a circle personality. I feel like I can kind of bounce off things. I'm not like very, you know, it's like, I'll rub people this way. I'll just roll off. It's not a big deal. You're having a bad day. I'm just going to bounce off. Some people have square personalities. Some people have triangles, right? Some you run into them, and if you hit the flat side, you're good. But if you hit the pointy part, you're like, I don't want to be around that person. Make sense? Some of you guys have star personalities, right? It doesn't matter which way we turn you, you're going to poke somebody the wrong way, right? And I keep saying, if it's not resonating with you, it's probably you that I'm talking about. But the gospel of peace means that God wants us, right? Does he want us to be creating drama in our place, in our families? I don't think so, right? When we're filled with the Holy Spirit, we're filled with Jesus and walking right with him, we should be filled with peace, right? Peace that surpasses all understanding, right? And that's a testimony when we're walking with God. It's a true testimony, right? That we're not the ones that are, we shouldn't be causing that friction. We should be peacemakers for God, right? That every single one of us, at any given time, there's going to be conflict in closer than you know. At work, at home, with your spouse, with your kids, with your parents. But Jesus is saying, man, be fitted, right? Be fitted with the gospel of peace. That means wherever I go, I'm not there to create conflict, right? I'm there to create what? Peace. I'm there to create whatever there's that friction, that disunity. God is not calling us to be part of that or be all over the mix or be the one that's causing conflict, like with all kinds of chisme, you know. Be honest, they said what? Let me tell you what she said about you, girl. She said this. I can't believe it. Like, I don't even talk like that, but I think when people gossip, that's how they talk, you know. And where it happened? Oh, she did that for real? Don't do that, right? That's not the gospel. That's the shoes of chisme. And you're not going to find that in the Bible. Be fitted with the shoes of in the gospel of peace, right? Now, why does the gospel matter? Because the gospel is what? The good news, guys. And what is the gospel in its simplest form, right? I always say this, it's important. That we're born sinners, right? That we are made for God. And that Christ came, he gave his life as a ransom so that we can know him, right? Jesus tells us very clearly, there's only one way to the Father, and it's through him. So at the same time, just by the same way that Christ through the gospel came so that we could have peace with the Father, we're called to be his ambassadors, right? We represent him where we go. So we shouldn't be causing all that drama, all that division. If that's you, I don't know. That's not good. I want to move on. The next piece of armor that we're talking about today is the shield of faith. The shield of faith. In verse 16, it says, in addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Now, again, the context of the passage is, it's for a Roman soldier, right? You needed your shield because people would actually shoot both, like, you know, arrows at you. And so it was a really important piece of equipment. It was also something that you can use, right, that shield is also defense, but also was a little bit of offense as well. And here's the thing, right? When we talk about having faith, it's not in like your own self or your self-righteousness, right? It's having faith in the one who made you, right? It's having faith in the one that was sent by the Father, right? So we put our faith in who? We put our faith in Jesus Christ, right? A lot of us, we think that, like, and I've mentioned this last week, that on our own merits, on our own accord, we do all these things. Look at me, I've done this, I've accomplished this. And you put your faith in your job, in your bank account, you put your faith in what? And all those things at the end of the day don't have any eternal lasting value, right? We're called to put our faith in Jesus Christ because it is the only way that we can really, I mean this, right? Live a life that I think is even, I don't know how else to say it, but apart from Christ, man, we're going to be chasing vapors because everything else, nothing in this world really matters. And I mean that. Of course, our relationship with God and the people who he brings us to. But outside of that, you know, we're chasing vapors. And a lot of times, right, what's the thing that drives us crazy the most? It's all the things that we have to do. It's our to-do list, right? Your work, you got to clean the house, the things your kids have to do, your kids' homework, Common Core math. I'm worthless now to the kids. Like my daughter's like, can you help me with math? I looked at her, I was like, I don't know, this is common, I don't know, common sense, but it's Common Core. And so, but all those things, right, drown us out, all the things that we have to do. And at the end of the day, we're made to have a relationship with Christ. We need to have put our faith in him. He's the only way to get back to the Father. Ephesians 2:8 says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not of your own doing. It's the gift of God, not a result of any of your works, so that none of you could boast. Right? We're saved only by one thing alone. It's our faith in Jesus Christ. All of our works, right? They don't mean a whole lot. Not to, in terms of our way to salvation, right? We have to put our faith in Jesus Christ. The fifth piece of armor that we're talking about this morning is the helmet of salvation, right? The helmet of salvation. The helmet was used to protect, obviously, the soldier's head, right? And why do you, it's important to protect your head because that's where all of your thought process is at, where all of your neurons and nerves, and some of you guys have bigger heads than others, but it still needs to be protected with a helmet. Our salvation, right, is a vital aspect of our spiritual armor. Listen, you can do all these things just like, But if you don't know who Jesus is and you're not saved, you're putting all this stuff and you're not equipped. The strength doesn't come from the armor itself. The strength comes from the person who equips us with that armor. Does that make sense? I've shared this before. When I was in my 20s and I was far away from God, I used to try to read this book because year over year, it's the number one best-selling book. And I said, well, I'm going to read it. And some of you guys have heard me preach on this. I didn't read it because I wanted to know God more. I was reading it because I wanted to fight with my aunts and my, like, I said, that's not in the Bible. Would you pray? I had bad intent. I'll be honest with you. And this is a part of the tool, and we're going to talk about it. But I wasn't using God's armor the way that it was intended, right? I was misusing it. For example, if you put on the armor and you're not using it in a way that it's meant to be used, it's not effective, right? It's like, those kids that you see that walk around with the belt right here. What good is that armor or that part of the armor if you're not using it right? The helmet of salvation is essential to our faith, right? And we always say at the end of every service, we give the invitation because ultimately we have to understand the gospel. And if you hear Jesus knocking on your heart, it's because he made you and he wants to have a relationship with you. Amen? The other thing that's really important, right, is where we are, in the culture where we are exposed to so much information, right? So much information, like overflow. Like your phone is spying on you and Alexa spying on you. Because isn't it like when you're talking and then all of a sudden all kinds of commercials come up about that? You're like, oh, what the heck? Your phone is, it's listening. You got to turn it off. We're exposed to so much information, content, right? Some of the information that comes is not good information, guys, right? So the helmet, at the same time, is meant to protect our head, also our thought process, right? In Romans 12:2, it says, what? Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, right? Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good and pleasing, perfect will. That means that if we're not protecting our head, guys, not only just physically, but also, like I said, all the things that we watch on TV, right? All the things that comes in, the people who you hang around, it's like, man, I don't want to hear all that. We really need to protect what's in our mind and renew it daily through scripture, through meditation, through prayer, because otherwise, a lot of things will start coming in that you shouldn't be watching, right? And it's cool if you want to watch TikTok, all kinds of dance moves and, what's the other life hacks that you guys watch? I turned my TikTok off because it was taking too much of my time. I don't know about you guys. I'm just gonna tell you guys a story. I had to turn it off because I really like the pimple pop videos. It's disgusting, but it totally is like a sucker of my time, And it's like, and I don't know why. Right? I should have been a dermatologist or something And then the lady, the Chinese lady, the pimple popper lady. Oh, dude, that show's awesome. But it sucks up all my time, guys. So I have to I have to actually delete it, right? So, and then go back to, and then I don't watch TikTok now. I just read the Bible all day, guys. I don't. Look, I'm not perfect, guys. One of the things that we talk about here is at Christ Community Church is being authentic, right? Every single one of us is in a struggle, myself included, right? Every single one of us. But man, God is good. You know what? God is so good to us. And so we all can be encouraged, right? So stop watching pimple popping videos and open your Bible. The last one is the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, right? And that's in verse 17. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, right? Which is the Word of God. Now, this one I mentioned earlier, you could use the shield earlier, but this is the only true piece of offense that we have against the enemy's schemes, yes? And you have to memorize this thing. You have to get into your Word because guess what? A lot of times when you're walking around in life, you're not walking around. I don't see a lot of people at work like, my Bible right here, I'm good. A lot of people don't walk around with this thing, right? But you can put it in here. Some of us have some favorite scriptures that you can use and meditate on them. And there is absolutely power in the scripture, guys. There is. As soon as, I don't care what kind of day you're having, if you hold on to one of God's promises and you repeat it, man, it has life. But that's important. It's so important because it's the only piece of offense that we have. A lot of times when you're going through the struggle, we always have to go back, and I'm going to go back to why we need to pray, but pray back even God's promises about you, right? About us, because it's so important to us. The sword is again, in terms of spiritual warfare, it's the only piece of offense that we have. And if we're walking around, right, like let's say we didn't put on the belt of truth. We don't have the breastplate of righteousness. We don't have the shoes fit for the gospel of peace. We don't have the helmet of salvation on. How do you think it's going to go for us out here? And then walk around with what? With no... would you go to battle without your weapon? No, right? But every day, some of us do that. So I'm going to give you guys an analogy, right? I'm El Salvadorian. So now if you're going to go into battle with somebody, do you think this is a good... It's kind of skinny. It's a little pocket knife. Is this the kind of thing you want to go to battle with? If you know that the person that you're up against is like heavily armed, like I'm just saying the enemy, right? And if we're going to have a physical confrontation, do you think that he's walking around with one of these? Probably not, right? So this is my everyday little, you know, I don't even need this, guys, but it makes me feel like I'm in the office and I was like, you need me to open that box? I got it. Makes me feel like a true story. So this is my regular pocket knife. All I do is write emails all day, but I was like, I got my pocket knife. You know, something happens. So this is true story. This is my everyday pocket knife. Stephanie knows. She can attest to it. But if you were going to fight the enemy, wouldn't it be better to have one of these? Right? Right? You're like, what's this? Right? So just all these laughing because, listen, if you're a Salvadorian, this goes right next to wherever you have your tire iron and your jacket, you got one of these right here. I always ask my brothers, hey, you got your machete? No, I don't got one. I said, but I have one in my car. Let me go get it. It's this one. Because you might have to like chop some wood or something. I don't know. I don't know why. Giselle has one in her trunk too. So if you ever see her on the side of the road, don't think that it's going to be an easy one. She might cut you. But what I'm saying is, this is just a visual example, right? If you're going to war with the enemy, isn't it better to be walking around with one of these than one of these? And so all I'm saying is, how are you going to get your, again, this is a metaphor, but are you going to get this? You think you're going to have a massive sword with you if you're just like lukewarm in your walk? You never read your Bible, right? You're just, maybe I know the verse. It's in the Bible somewhere. If I have time, I'll read it. Might meditate on it. I do the daily devotion. Listen, guys, if we want to really equip ourselves with God, we have to meditate on it, know it, right? And it's not because it's like, again, we're not trying to prove, like, you know, you don't get points with God. I'm just being honest with you. He loves us enough already. It's not works. But don't I want to spend more time with him? Don't I want to be in his word? I want to know his instructions for my life? I would say, yeah, right? So this one is good for email. This one is good for going to battle, guys. Just being honest with you. Not email, but you guys know what I'm talking about. I give you guys a visual, because some of you guys are visual learners, right? And, you know, I mean, it's not every day you get to see a pastor preach and brandish a machete. So, hey, we're keeping it real here. Let me just tell you guys this. We can go through Ephesians chapter 6 all day long. But it's only effective if you use it, right? A lot of us have this, and it sits where? On our desk sometimes, Sunday to Sunday. We have it on our phones too. And this is not a guilt trip, guys. It's just like, remember what we're made for. We're made to be in relationship with God. We need to prioritize that relationship in our lives. It's important. We need to walk out and just remember that, hey, when you're walking out the door, there's somebody that wants to ruin your day. The enemy is called the thief. He comes to kill, steal, and destroy. And so we have to be prepared. It's not about just using it on Sundays. We have to be intentional, right? We have to study, be diligent to study God's word. We have to pray. We have to seek to grow our relationship with him. But let me tell you this, right? You recognize that the power in, that we find in the armor of God is not in the armor itself. It's in who we depend on, right? The one who provides it. And so the fourth fill in the blank says, our strength and the strength of our armor comes from the Lord, right? And this is Ephesians verse 10. In Ephesians 10, it says, finally, right? Be strong in the Lord and mighty in his power, right? It doesn't say, be strong in your own self-confidence. Be strong in your own abilities. Be strong on all your accomplishments and achievements. Be strong on the car that you drive, the house that you, all the merits that you think, it doesn't say be strong in those things. We're called to be humble. We have to be strong in the Lord and mighty in his power alone. The verse that a lot of you guys know, Philippians 4:13, right? It says, I can do all things through Christ who gives me, who strengthens me. It's not in your own strength. And that doesn't mean that you're, that he's going to transfer this power to you. It just says, no, I empty myself. I empty myself so I can be filled with Christ. And he gives me the strength to persevere. Because in this life, you're going to have troubles, right? Jesus promises that too. He says, in this life, you're going to have troubles, but fear not because I've overcome the world. You got to recognize that the armor of God is not something that you can create or obtain. This is truly a gift from God, right? Everything that we've talked to today is nothing that you've provided. He says, I give you all the tools. I give you the ability. I give you a way to know who the Father is through the Son, Jesus Christ. We have the scriptures that he gives us. The other thing that I'm always reminded about is that above all else, right, he never leaves us or forsakes us. We read in John chapter 14, right, he says, I'm going to send the Comforter, the power of the Holy Spirit. It's like for us, if we walk around being like, you know, these weak Christians, you know, this is actually pretty good. Some of us have the little knife with the nail cutter one. That's even worse. What? You're going to get to a street fight with the nail cutter file? Because we don't what? We don't apply ourselves. That's a conscious decision. God says, man, I'm looking for people that are walking around like this, right? But we don't apply ourselves. It's a free gift from God, and it's up to us, right, to use it every day to stand firm against the attacks of the enemy, right? It's significant in our lives, and it's crucial because we need to stand firm. You are going to go through a struggle in your life. If you're not in one, we always say there's three types of things that are happening in your life. You're either in a storm, you're coming out of one, or you're heading right into one. But let me tell you what, right? When you have Jesus Christ walking with you and you have the power of the Holy Spirit, it doesn't matter what the world throws at you. It does not matter. He's not a liar, guys. He is faithful to who he is, right? And when he says that I'll never leave you or forsake you, I give you all these tools, put them on. Put it on. Because you are going to, there is somebody that wants to destroy our work and our lives and our families. And so we have to be serious about this. And the last thing I want to tell you guys, right, is when you recognize that you're in the middle of a spiritual battle, right, you got your sword, you got all the different things, the five different pieces of armor that I mentioned on top of the sword. The key to battle, to winning in the spiritual battle is prayer, guys. It is absolutely prayer. When something happens to you, when something bad happens to you, what is the first thing you normally happen, right? You do what? You get your phone and you call somebody. Some of you might take out your phone and say, I'm going to make a video about this. No. The first thing that we do is we call somebody. Usually it's somebody we love, somebody we trust, somebody that can help us. Yes? When you recognize that you're in a spiritual battle, you have to be in constant prayer, right? In verse 18, Paul says, 6:18, it says, and pray in spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for the Lord's people. Pray also for me that when I speak, right, that words may be given to me fearlessly so I may make the mystery of the gospel known, for which I am the ambassador in chains, but pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. It's saying we need to be in prayer. more than anything. Yes, we need to put on the full armor, but recognize that the strength that we have comes from the Lord, right? We have to be in communication with him. We have to be in petition with him. And it's not the prayer that we thought like when we learned when we were kids. Like, oh, I'm going to pray for this thing. This is not a lamp, but pretend this is a lamp. Here's my genie. Jesus, oh man, get me out of jail. Jesus, I know I'm all drunk. Don't let me get pulled over today. Please, I'll go to church tomorrow. You're negotiating with the creator of the universe. Jesus, oh man, I really need this job, Jesus, right? That's not the kind of prayer that we're talking about. That's like saying, if you had somebody in your life that every time you see them, they just say, hey, give me 10 bucks. Hey, give me, do this thing for me, do this for me. Do you have people like that in your life? You do, huh? Man, I don't know. Today's word is cutting today. I don't know. But we're saying, like, isn't it? And I'm not saying that God is not going to provide and come through. Even when some of us, if we're honest, when we weren't with God, he showed up because he's that good. I can tell you certainly in my life, when I wasn't walking with God, he still showed up for me. He had a plan for me, right? Even though I didn't deserve it, I deserve justice. I deserve for him to kick me out and say, culture, Charlie, I don't even know who you are. He still showed up for me because he's that good. But when we come to prayer, right, the first part of the prayer is that we acknowledge who he is first, right? We're praying for his will, like, hallowed is your name, right? Your kingdom come, not my will, but your will be done. And so when we have to come with the right mind, that God, when you have to remember who you're talking to. You're talking to the creator of the universe. And we just come with like, oh, I really need this thing. I really hope that this one little. And sometimes I always say like, man, how about when we're walking with God, can we make some bold prayers too? You know, like, God, use me for something awesome for your glory. I mean, yeah, maybe he wants to buy you that foot-long sandwich at Subway. I don't know what you pray, but we pray sometimes for little things, right? That was probably not the best example, but you guys know what I'm talking about. The God that we know, he's the creator of the universe, man. Can he do it? And I'm not talking health and wealth, guys. Sometimes the answer is no, or it's not the right time, or, man, what are you thinking? But when we recognize that we're in a spiritual battle and we are seeking his will for our life, his will be done in our life, man, how can we go wrong? And he says, I made you, I love you, I want to have a relationship with you, I'm going to do the best things for you. Because sometimes the good parent, the good mother, the heavenly father, what do they say? They say, no, I'm not going to give you that thing. Dad, can I have this thing? No, you're going to kill yourself. Can I have this machete? No, JD, no, okay. No, you're going to... Can I have this car? No. Because I love you. The answer is no. Or in due time, when you have more maturity, right? So just remember that you're in a spiritual battle, and the key to spiritual battle is prayer. That you have a heavenly Father that wants to hear from you. I always say, like, we're earthly parents, right? And one of the sweetest things that we can hear is when our kids call us. Mom, Dad. It's like one of the, isn't it like something, Mom, Dad, like I need, not when they were like nagging, but sometimes, do you have kids that are smart? And they're like, let me give you a hug. We have one like that, is he here? Let me give you a hug, Mom, Dad, and it makes you feel so good, right? As a earthly parent. Man, how much does the Heavenly Father want to hear from us? I'm just saying. We got to keep that relationship and that communication alive. So let me wrap this up in summary, right? In conclusion. Today, we're just reminded of the incredible gifts that God has given us, right? To put on the full armor of God. It's not just about knowing about it. Actively, we have to put each part of it on to stand firm against the attacks of the enemy. We're not fighting this battle alone. We have the Lord's mighty power at our sides, and he's equipped us with everything to stand firm. But here's the other thing too, right? You can't do this thing alone. That's a lie from the enemy. right? You need to be, you need a body to belong. You need friends. You need families. You need brothers and sisters to come alongside you. And guess what? Everybody that's in here has some drama going on, has some mess in your life, has gone through something. You're not meant to go through it alone. That is a lie of the enemy. The whole thing about the mistakes, issues, we're all messed up, guys, myself included. But I belong to the Savior, right? I worship the living God, and He accepts me as I am. And when we talk about being authentic in our worship and authentic in relationship, it means that we got to be okay, right? To have a few brothers and sisters to come alongside to say, you know what? Number one, I don't care. Judgment free, right? I'm here to love on you, to encourage you, to serve you, to help you as best I can. That is one of the foundational things that we want to do here at this church. It's not about all this other stuff, right? We don't want to be hypocrites. Our lives are messed up too, guys. And I don't mean that as a, but we have to be okay in unity and harmony, right? To come together and say, hey, let's encourage each other. Let's love one another. Let's support one another. How can we do this thing to get together? Because the worst place to be is isolated within your own thoughts and your own minds, right? Thinking that, like, oh man, I've really screwed this thing up. That's a lie from the enemy. God loves you, right? He sees you where you are. And He sent His Son to die on the cross that we might know and have a relationship with Him. And we have to be very intentional to do that. And so that's the last thing I want to close with that. Because the spiritual armor of God is only effective if you use it. And at the same time, right, there's the other thing too. And I didn't talk about it in terms of the, as we get into the Word and as we encourage each other and as we learn and as we pray for one another, right? There's a saying in the Marines, maybe Stephen knows it. It's every Marine a what? I thought you were. Army, my bad. Well, there's a saying in the Marines. It's called every Marine a rifleman. And there's a reason for that. It means that the first 2 weeks of basic, they spend learning how to use what? Their gun, right? Spend the first 2 weeks of learning how to get familiar with it. So you got to get familiar with this. If you're not familiar with it, you need one, come see me. I'll buy you one. I don't care. You got to get familiar with it. If you don't know how to use this thing, if you don't know how to meditate on it, come see us. You got to know how to activate God's power in the Scripture. The second thing that they teach the Marines in boot camp is, number one, what happens, right? You have to know this because you don't want it to jam up, because your life and that of your fellow Marine depends on it. So in the same way, right, we have to take this serious. The second thing that they teach Marines in training, I don't know if you know this, is what to do when your gun jams up. And the second thing is to carry somebody when they get injured or to carry a body. Why do you think that matters? Because if somebody gets injured, man, I better get up alongside this brother and take him to safety. And each one of us, right, in fellowship, in the body of believers, we're called to do that for each other. To love one another, to serve one another, pray for one another, encourage one another. That's a foundational thing here. And it's a foundational for the bride of Christ, right? Any church. Let's stand. Father God, we come before you, Lord God, and we just thank you, Lord, for your goodness, Lord God. We thank you for the instruction, the equipment, the things that you provide for us, Lord, as we are on this journey, Lord God. We thank you that you made a way for us, Lord. We thank you that your love for us is sufficient. We thank you for your death on the cross, Lord. And Lord, I'm just encouraged, Lord God. I know we're fighting a spiritual battle, but we have victory in your name. And Lord, some of us in here right now, we need to stand on that promise and reclaim that victory, Lord. We're not here to suffer and to deal with all this stress and drama of life. We're here to have victory in your name, Lord, to glorify you. Our lives are meant, Lord, to glorify you. And whether we're with you or apart from you, your word tells us you're going to be glorified no matter what. But we want to be with you, Lord Jesus. We want to be with you, Heavenly Father. We want to be filled with you, Holy Spirit. So that's my prayer this morning, that we just go back and remember to put on the full armor of God. To remember who we're up against, not to be naive and to walk out unprepared. We want to have victory, Lord God, and only you provide us that victory. It's not going to be by our self-righteousness or our works or the things that we do. It comes only because we are connected to you, Lord Jesus. So help us to be reminded to be connected to who you are. Lord, it's my prayer this morning. If somebody doesn't know who Jesus is and they want to know more about him, that they would just seek out, reach out to one of us. We can encourage you on this journey, but it's a personal faith. It's a personal relationship that we have to form. And that only comes from accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and knowing the gospel that he came that your sins might be forgiven. He came that you might have a way back to the Father. He came to so that you might know that you are loved above all else and that he is good. And so it's my prayer this morning, if somebody has that inclination, that knocking in their heart, they would just continue to seek and answer and respond. Because ultimately, it's Jesus who's knocking on the door and he invites, and he's not going to come in without the permission to be allowed in. And Lord, for the rest of those of us that are saved here in this room, Lord God, I just pray that we continue to dig in deep into our relationship with you, Lord Jesus, to be reminded that you want to hear from us, that you care for us, that you love each and every one of us, and you want us to send us off, Lord, unprotected in this world, Lord God, and be devoured by the enemy. You want us to have victory in your name, Lord God, so we're going to claim that this morning because you are a good and awesome God, Lord. And just thank you again for all the blessings that you pour out for us, Lord God. And I just pray, I know every single one of us in here, if we're, I've said it before, to live is a struggle. And if we're in that struggle, Lord, I pray that we would just turn it over to you. Whether it's a financial issue, a health issue, a relationship issue, if we got to just bring things to light, Lord God, we want to have a dialogue and unity. We want to have that peace that we're talking about. Help us to just acknowledge it, Lord. Surrender it to you, Lord Jesus. And we know that you are going to provide a way, Lord God. Lord, surround us with brothers and sisters. Bring people in our path, Lord God, that sometimes we're trying to do things our own way, and it's not for us to carry that burden. It's shouldering and allowing other people to come in to breathe life and to encourage. And help us to do that, Lord. Help us to be in authentic relationship with each other as we're seeking to have authentic relationship with you, Lord God. Continue to guide us. Continue to bless us. And thank you again, Lord God, for your goodness, Lord. We love you. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.